From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This is Alan Kearns with you once again to Let the Bible Speak. We continue today with our studies in the life of Christ, returning to the first chapter of John's Gospel, considering there Christ meeting with his first disciples, Andrew and Philip. Andrew went to Peter, Philip went to Nathanael. These erstwhile disciples of John the Baptist, having learned of John the greatness of Christ, and having met the Savior for themselves, were now spreading the word. It's a wonderful passage, John chapter 1, and I trust the Lord has been blessing our study to your hearts. We'll be returning and thinking especially a little more today on the testimony that John had borne to the Lord Jesus, a testimony that he willingly and openly accepted. Before we get to that, we'll have our gospel music, and before the music, we will have our hot topic, our commentary for today. You may have heard of the case of the Iowa hotel worker who sued to obtain unemployment benefit. Her manager had fired her after finding on her work's computer a personal journal in which she detailed the ways that she employed to keep from having to do any work. Her manager was understandably more than a little unhappy with the thought that he was paying a woman whose only work seemed to be working out ways to escape doing the work she was employed to do. So he fired her, and that made her ineligible for unemployment benefit. The woman didn't see it that way, and so she sued. She told the judge that keeping the journal was a form of therapy for her. I would imagine that it helped her self-esteem. Cataloguing the ways in which she could pay for doing nothing made her feel real good about herself. Unfortunately for her, the judge didn't see things her way, and he denied her claim. I'll not draw the obvious lessons about laziness, cheating, and stealing by taking wages under false pretenses. What struck me here is the truth of the age-old statement of Scripture, "Be sure your sin will find you out." That hotel worker had an apparently proven scheme working for her. She had got away with her idleness for long enough that she felt she would not be caught. So sure was she that she actually kept the record of her sin. But she was wrong, and sooner than she expected, her sin found her out. Sin always does find you out, sometimes here in this life, always in the great eternity of God. Sometimes sin finds you out in your body, or in your family, or business. It always finds you out in your soul. We're all slated to meet with a judge who's infinitely greater than the one who settles employment disputes. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. We're all going to meet God. On that day there will be no possibility of deceiving the judge. There will be no chance of getting away with sin. When you're asked what you did with the gifts and graces that God gave you, how will you answer? When you're asked what you did with the gospel of His Son, what will you answer? Every day your life is keeping a record that will be opened in the high court of heaven when you stand before God. The books will be opened, and another book, which is the book of life. Is your name written there? Is it inscribed by the pen of God's free grace in the Lamb's book of life? You can have the record cleared, your sins forgiven, and your soul saved by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says He died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. He's able to save all who come to God by Him. He invites all who are burdened by sin to come and be saved. If you have not come to Christ, make no further delay. Remember the woman in Iowa. This may be the day that God calls you to account. Each month, Let the Bible Speak produces what we simply call the Let the Bible Speak monthly tape, or CD for those who prefer it. This is a sort of electronic magazine, and it's a very useful thing to have. For example, some older folk may have difficulty reading a magazine, but they can listen to a tape or CD. Another example, some people are pushed for time, but have time as they drive here and there in their car. And a good tape can be a means not only of making the journey more pleasant, but of spiritual blessing to their hearts. The Let the Bible Speak monthly tape or CD has an exposition of Scripture, a devotional message, and a testimony or missionary segment, all with some good Christian music. Our monthly tape or CD is available to you free of charge if you simply write or call and request it. And I hope you will. I know it will be a blessing to your heart, so get in touch today. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is ltbs@freepres.org.
Our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS. 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you.
Last couple of days, we have been following the testimony of John the Baptist to the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He pointed out that Christ was the one who would baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He called him the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He spoke of Christ being authentically the Messiah because of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. For the Father had told him, upon whom you see the Spirit descending like a dove and remaining on him, he is my Son. So John bore all this testimony to the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we turn back to John chapter 1 to pursue a little further this testimony to Christ.
And then, of course, in verse 34, John testified the greatness of Christ by calling him the Son of God. I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Now, this is John's testimony. And as Jesus steps out in his ministry, he accepts this testimony, thereby declaring his greatness. Let me add to that and say, secondly, that he also acknowledged the truth of Nathanael's testimony. You look at verse 49, Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou, thou shalt see greater things than these. Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see the heaven opened, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. The reference here, I think everybody can see, is to Jacob's ladder. I don't think that you could read this without having your mind turned back to that time when Jacob was lying in Bethel with stones for a pillow, and despite that he was able to sleep, and he had this great dream of the ladder set up on earth whose top reached to heaven, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon that ladder. Now, here you will find that the Lord Jesus Christ not only used this to confirm the truth of Nathanael's testimony, but to point to the time and the manner in which it would be fulfilled. It's a wonderful picture you have of Christ here. Here's Nathanael. I don't want to get off the track and preach too much on Nathanael, but just to see this man coming, and he's so full of skepticism. And yet it took so little from Christ just to turn him like that. That gives you a wee bit of hope for some of your hard loved ones, the hard headed ones. That's why I said, get them to Jesus. If you can, get them to Jesus. You will never, never win souls simply by winning an argument. All it took was one little statement from Christ. Now, the story was over as far as the struggle for Nathanael's soul was concerned. He saw him for what he was. And then Jesus gives this wonderful statement about Jacob's ladder. Now, see the angels going up and coming down. What have you got there? Intercourse between heaven and earth. There's a ladder set up on earth whose top reaches to heaven. You know that's something man has been trying to achieve ever since the fall. What was Adam doing when he made himself aprons of fig leaves? He was trying to make a way where he would again cover his shame and somehow reinstitute a fellowship between earth and heaven, and he couldn't do it. What were they doing at Babel? They were building a tower. Our English version says, whose top may reach to heaven. Now, I don't think literally even they were dumb enough to believe that they could keep on building and building and building and building until their bricks and slime would reach literally to heaven. Those words are given in the English to make the Hebrew sense full. I think it's more that they built a tower whose top may resemble the heaven. I think you've probably got a great deal of idolatry there. The heavenly body is represented. But our English version catches very clearly the intention of these people. In building the tower, they were trying to make a way for something to be set up on earth that would get them in touch with heaven. And they couldn't do it. Now, says Jesus, here is a ladder, and it reaches to heaven. I am that ladder. And you'll see the angels of God descending and ascending, and I am the means of communication between earth and heaven. What a tremendous statement from Christ. What a tremendous claim from Christ. He's saying that he's the mediator. He is the means of bringing the blessing of heaven to earth, and he is the means of bringing the people of earth to heaven. And the petitions of earth to heaven. The only communion of heaven with earth is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's a very exclusive statement. In this day of political correctness and ecumenical or syncretistic religion, this is not a very acceptable statement. And if I am not too far mistaken, the time is going to come, and it's not too far away in this country, when you will pay dearly for being willing publicly to make such a statement. But it doesn't matter what governments say, it doesn't matter what churches say, it doesn't matter what the United Nations has to say, it doesn't matter what the Supreme Court enacts. We have this before us. Jesus is making it clear there is one way to bring heaven's blessing to earth. There is one way to bring earth's petitions and earth's people to heaven, and that is Jesus Christ himself, and there is no other way. And anybody who tries another way will find that their way is as damned by God as the Tower of Babel. And it will lead to the same destruction. He's the mediator. What a beautiful, beautiful statement the Savior gives us there. I read one great preacher who said on that text, every groan from burdened Christian hearts goes up this ladder, and every ray of light cheering the stormy billows of earth descends it. Take it home with you. If you're here in God's house this morning with a groaning, burdened heart, struggling with burdens that threaten to overwhelm you, you can't see your way forward, you can't see any way out, you can't understand how you can ever go on, remember that every groan from every burdened heart has a ladder in Christ by which to ascend to the throne of God, to bring down through Christ the rays of cheering light and help from God. But now we come to the difficult part. Jesus said to Nathanael, "You shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Now, what does that mean? Is that symbolism? Is that poetry? Did Jesus simply mean it to be taken metaphorically? Or does it describe some great visible glory? I have to say that where I can be a literalist, I'm a literalist. I think that there's far too much playing around with the scripture, and it's a very, very good canon of interpretation that unless a portion by its own testimony and context cannot be taken literally, then take it literally. It's the way we deal with everybody else's words, and it's the way we should deal with the Word of God. I believe that Jesus was literally wanting us literally to believe and understand that Nathanael would see the heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. But if that's so, then next big question, when did Nathanael ever see that? Couldn't have been on the Mount of Transfiguration, because Nathanael wasn't on the Mount of Transfiguration. There's no other recorded time in the Gospels. There's no recorded time after the resurrection. Oh, he was there and he saw Christ ascending up into heaven and the angels staying behind, but he never saw heaven opened and anything like this scene coming to pass. I believe with Bishop Ryle that this is a scene that remains to be fulfilled. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is giving us an insight into something that's going to happen at and after his second coming. And the reference to the second coming is strengthened in my mind by the title the Savior gives to himself. John had called him the Son of God. The disciples had called him the Messiah. He calls himself the Son of Man. That's a very important title that we may look at more fully later. But it's a title that's very, very important, because in Daniel 7 and 13, it's the title of the Messiah concerning his second coming in glory. 7:13 of Daniel, "I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him," and so on. This is a title that's associated with the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. And later in John's Gospel in chapter 5, verse 25 through 29, Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment, also because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Notice again the two titles. I'm the Son of God, but as the Son of Man, I'm coming back in glory, and I'm coming back as the judge of the earth. What Jesus is saying to Nathanael is a marvelous thing here. He says, not only am I the fulfillment of the spiritual truth of Jacob's ladder, that I am the only mediator between God and man, that is true. But what you see now in my humiliation, and what you will see through my life
of solitude and my suffering at my death, that's not the end. For there is a glory to follow. And there's a day coming, Nathaniel, when the fullness of what it means for me to be the Son of God and the King of Israel will be manifested, and you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.